I think most of you realize that we're living in a real moment of crisis, a real moment of crisis. If you turn over to the book of Daniel, the last chapter, I want to talk with you just a little bit about the Antichrist. I think a lot of people are interested in the subject concerning the Antichrist because they know that things are at a real point of crisis. Severe crisis. In the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, might have to read a good little bit here to get my thought over. The 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, the first verse. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. I'd like to stop here just a moment. Have you noticed that the trouble is around Persia? Have you observed the fact that there are Russian ships in the Persian waters? And that the name of the place where the crisis sprang up, that was before Persia? And they changed the name and now they're talking about changing it back. There's something here that we really need to get a hold of. Notice now, and now will I show thee the truth. How many know that what we need is the truth? Amen. I will show thee the truth. You know, there's a lot of heresy, a lot of ideas, a lot of opinions. But he said, I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the rims of Grecia. That's Greece. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion, and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others besides those. Now then, for those that understand, you remember Alexander the Great, a great, powerful leader that brought the Hellenistic religion that came sweeping down through the country and overthrowed the great empire there of the Medo-Persians and different ones that was in rule. And then after a few years, maybe 30, 33 years, his power was broken, and it was divided. His kingdom was divided among four generals, the four different powers that took his kingdom. It says, and when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity. Now, it's obvious that it's not an inheritance to the posterity of the man. It's not his relatives nor children or anything else, but it's to four great leaders. And this also has to do with the four winds that Daniel spoke of in earlier visions, and with the four winds that John spoke of. Now, I just have to stop along and drop in a thought here so that when we start back teaching on it this morning, that you'll understand what we're saying. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have great dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together. For the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arms. Neither shall he stand, nor his arms. But she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. I want you to keep in mind now, he's talking about a her here. Remember, America is referred to as a her. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods with their princes and with their vessels, precious vessels of silver and of gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land, but his sons shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up. And he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years, with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. I want you to notice here now, at the time of the trouble of the king of the north, it says here that the robbers of our people shall stand up. That is, you'll have an inner circle problem. But they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed, going to Israel. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take away many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the ford of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flattery. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's father. He shall scatter among them the prey, and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast device against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him. Now remember, these are the ones that are supported by the south. And his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down, slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. And they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south. Now remember, the king of the north. But it shall not be as the former or as the latter, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his father knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, and with horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overflown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hands also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over the precious king things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palaces between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This has to do with the rapture. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. When then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on the side, this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be 4 times time and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now then, it's obvious here, when you see the great angel standing for Daniel's people, he said, for thy people, which of course would be the Jewish people. When you see this, you automatically know that that ties it with the book of Revelation. Then when you see here, where he said that, when Daniel said, when shall this be? He said, at the time of the end, a time's time and a half a time. Again, we see that that ties it to Daniel. Daniel to John. Then he sees, we see here where he said, many shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. This we really need to need to let that sink down in our heart, that none shall understand that are wicked. You know, a lot of wicked people, they have the idea that they're going to understand, and a lot of religious people have the idea that some wicked will understand. But according to the Bible, there will not be any wicked that understand. Not one man that lives on the face of the earth, being a wicked man, shall understand. Not one. Not one. I don't care how great he is, how much education he's got, how much money, power, whatever, he does not understand. He can try to instruct the people, tell them whatever he wants to. He can be a philosopher, whatever. He will not understand. God will not hear him. God will not regard the wicked. God will not hear the prayer of the wicked. God will not receive the offering of the wicked. The wicked are abomination in the sight of God. God said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. The wicked are like the troubled waters ever casting their mire up upon the bank. All right, he also says here 290 days. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh the desolate set up, that shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. All right, 290 days or 1,290 days. The 1,335 days. Here we're shown that just before the middle of the week, that something takes place. And at the middle of the week, we are made to know that Antichrist is coming in. A time's time and a half a time, or 1,290 days, any way that you want to figure it. It brings us to the middle of the week, or that is, if Daniel has a last week of those that are determined upon the people of God, that is one of the 70, then there is a middle of it according to the Bible. And the middle of that week is where Antichrist comes in, for it is in the middle of that week, the last week of Daniel, the middle of that week, Satan is cast out of heaven. He is no longer reckoned as a spirit, nor a hidden power, but he is put on exhibit before men by being made incarnate in human flesh, and the fullness of Satan, or Satan himself, becomes a man. The fullness of Satan is placed within human flesh. At that time, the devil knows that he's lost. But the Bible said he will go about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The short time is 3.5 years. He knoweth at that time that he hath but a short time, because he isn't convinced that he cannot win until the middle of the week. As long as he's in the spirit, he is so powerful, he still has hopes of conquering the world. But when he is cast out of the spirit by the man-child, and the man-child takes the throne, he automatically knows then that he cannot win. So then he knows that his kingdom is a short-lived one of 3.5 years. And when this happens, he automatically knows that he's lost the battle. Now, another thing that I want you to notice, it says here that the king of the north, I just want to drop in a few things so we can teach on this morning. But the king of the north, the Bible said that the king of the south will push at him. Now, this is exactly what is happening right now. I said that to say this. I want to bring it right down to where you can understand what I'm saying. It says at the end time, that the king of the south shall push at the king of the north. The Bible tells us that the destroyer, or the king of the north, is on his way. He is on his way. The king of the north is on his way. You know, when we think about Antichrist, the average individual, the first thing that they think about is the Catholic Church. And they have the impression that the Catholic Church is the power that's going to overthrow everything, and that Antichrist is going to be the Pope of Rome. Now, we've tried to explain some things as carefully as we can or could concerning the Catholic Church and Antichrist. We went into the 70 weeks of Daniel. Some of you were not here, but it's still on tape. We've still got it on tape. You can get it whenever you get ready. Brother Bill's got it. And we tried to explain what the abomination of desolation is. Tried to explain what Antichrist would do. How that the 70 weeks of Daniel in the days of the king Artaxerxes, how that it had to do with the book of Revelation. And we explained how it would bring the end of the world. Whereas the things that we have spoken of, if you recall, science has already confirmed numbers of those things by their own studies and definement. And they say it's going to happen exactly the way that we have explained it to you. Not knowing anything about what science had said or what science thought, or at that time science had not discovered these things. Yet we said that it would happen in a certain way, in a certain manner. And so it has happened. And so it appears that it will continue to happen. Now, but this morning, I'd like to take a few things concerning Antichrist and tie it in with the things I taught concerning Daniel 70 weeks. So when I refer to the last week of Daniel, I'm speaking of one of the 7 years period of the 70 weeks that God reserves to the end time as the last week of Daniel. You follow me? All right. Now, the last week of Daniel, 7 years, in the middle of that last week is when Antichrist is personified. Now, I don't have any need to teach you this. So far as your salvation is concerned, so far as the saints of God are concerned, they don't have any need to know this, you know, other than for the glory of God and to understand the plan of God. Because according to what I understand, at the first of the week, 3.5 years before Antichrist is personified, or Satan, or that is, Antichrist comes in, 3.5 years before then, the church will be gone. It will be gone. You know, most people, when they think of the coming of Jesus, they get the idea, as I've said before, that Christ Jesus is just going to appear here in the elements, and the sign of the Son of Man is going to come up in the elements, and all of a sudden the people are going to, like that, and just be gone away. And the sign of the Son of Man will just in and right out. Daniel said, when shall this be? Said the end time. Said in the end time, the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in the heavens. And all of the tribes of the earth shall mourn. The black man, the white man, the red man, the yellow man, the American people, the German people, India people, China, all of the nations of the world, all of them shall mourn, because the Bible said they will look and they will see the sign of the Son of Man appearing in the heavens. We preached a message a number of years ago concerning the sign of the Son of Man. And this morning, the things that we're saying, they have such a terrific significance until you could hardly ever understand how great the significance is of us teaching this today. See, it's such a great thing. This is one reason that Satan last night saw that we had to stay out there with those steps to weary the body, to oppress the mind, to make us slow to thought, or whatever. He's done this many times, that have to step all night, you know, when we were going to try to bring forth something or God was doing something special. But my people have bore with me. Carefully listen. And I want you to listen this morning. Something happened yesterday. Something is happening today. Now, the middle of Daniel's last week is the coming of Satan, the personification of the Antichrist. But 3.5 years before that time, the church is going to be changed. Somebody would say, how? They're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the beginning of Daniel's last week. Not the middle, but the beginning of Daniel's last week. They're going to be changed, suddenly changed. All of a sudden, the sign of the Son of Man is going to appear in the heavens. And when it appears in the heavens, all of the tribes of the earth are going to begin to mourn. At that moment, which will be at the beginning of Daniel's last week, when will the sign of the Son of Man come? At the beginning of Daniel's last week. And it shall appear in the heavens. And when it appears in the heavens, all of a sudden the grave shall break open. Not all of the dead shall be resurrected. Only some of the dead shall be resurrected. The Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this resurrection that will take place at the beginning of Daniel's last week. Blessed and holy is he. That is, he is a Christian. He is a saint. He is a godly person. Only the blessed and holy, that's what he's saying, shall have part in this first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. What is the second death? I say again, the second death is the lake of fire. The lake of fire is called the second death. The lake of fire does not come into view until the end of the millennium, which means 1,000 years from the time that the first resurrection takes place. For the Bible says that the wicked dead live not again until the 1,000 years was finished. So then not all of the dead is coming forth at the beginning of Daniel's last week, but only the righteous dead. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now, this first resurrection, and I say again these things for the benefit of those that have not been with us with the regularity, that they might understand. The first resurrection is not accounted for until after the last week of Daniel has passed on. It is after the last week has passed on that we find Revelation 19, the Lord coming back from heaven on the white horse, the armies of heaven, which that means you, me, others, coming back on the white horses, him coming with a vesture dipped in blood. When you see Revelation 19 and you see the vesture dipped in blood, what does that mean to you and I? The vesture, the body of Jesus, the blood-stained vesture, that body has all through the years since Calvary been on the mercy seat. It has been the blood atonement, the blood-stained vesture, has been the means of atonement to mediate between mankind and God. But when you see him in Revelation 19, you readily know that he is not on the mercy seat anymore. He's coming as a judge. He's coming as a great general. He's coming with the armies of heaven. He's coming to fight till the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. Michael the great prince standing for his people in the latter times. We see this in the middle of the week. And we see this put in force at the end of the week. Here comes Jesus. The blood has come off of the mercy seat. It's not there anymore. There is no more mercy for the world. Because here we see the blood-stained vesture in the earth on the horse, not in heaven on the mercy seat. He has lifted himself up from the mercy seat, come down to earth on the white horse, and now there is a great judgment in the earth, a slaughter such as mankind hath never known. Even to the extent that the armies of heaven united with the army of Israel will join together in a body-spirit union, and every nation in the world being gathered together against this army of heaven and against Israel shall meet together and fight until the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. Now, I've said before, I've been there and I've seen this valley. It is a tremendous valley. Yet, the Bible says that it will happen. The Bible tells us that in the last days, an evil thought will come into the heart of Gog and Magog. Now, who is Gog and Magog? If you'll search out history, you'll find it goes back to Russia in that area. An evil thought shall come into their minds, the king of the north. And they will say one to another, let us go up to the city that has unfenced walls. That is, let us go up against Israel. Israel that doesn't have any real armed protection. That is, when we consider equality of Israel and the great nations of the world. Just the little people. Let us go up and fight against Israel. Let's take all of their wealth, all of their spoil. Who can stop us? For the Bible said concerning Antichrist that nobody will be able to make war against him. He will be so powerful. He will have the power of arms in such a way that no nation in the world can make war with him. Who can stop us? That's exactly the way that Russia feels right now. You might feel like we are America and we can handle ourselves, but Russia knows that she can defeat the entire world. They know that they can do it because the Bible points it out that the king of the south shall push at the king of the north in that day when an evil thought comes into their mind. Russia, what is Russia trying to do right now? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, they're coming into those little countries and they're taking over. But that's not Russia's goal, because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said in that day, Russia will have their mind on Israel. And the Bible said that Antichrist shall plant his tabernacle in the glorious land. Let us go up and take a spoil of Israel. The king of the north will say, look how great we are. While we're so great, we can rule the world. But there's something that will trouble him, and that is the tidings out of the east. Always it troubles the kings of the earth. When Herod was on his throne, tidings from the wise man troubled him. Behold, a babe is born, the king of Israel. Oh, but I'm king, Herod said. I'm king. Oh, but there's a greater one coming, Herod. And the tidings troubled him. Antichrist will say, I've conquered the world. I'm the great supreme ruler. But tidings out of the east will say, he's coming. He's coming, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And though he hath dominion over all the earth, yet he will be troubled. At the time of this great move, the Bible said that the land of Ammon shall escape. Moab shall escape. These countries, Edom, they shall escape. And I've said before that these are the countries that had to do with Lot's children. God had given this part of the country to Lot's children. Edom, Esau, over here on the other side of Jordan, near the wilderness, these places shall be able to escape the hand of Antichrist, in the sense that they will be, that country will seem worthless to him. The wilderness, but there we find the Valley of Petra. We brought out a message concerning the Valley of Petra. After the birth of the child, the middle of the week, the child caught up to the throne, the woman fleeing into the wilderness, that little bit of country which is referred to as the place of escape over the Jordan. That woman will flee from the presence of Antichrist, go over the Jordan. You remember Elisha and Elijah. Go over the Jordan, and there is where she'll really pick up the mantle, because God will be moved. And the Gentile church will have gone out. The mantle will be coming back. Over the Jordan she will go. And she will stay there. That times time and a half a time. Fleeing from the Antichrist. Hiding away. Because the Old Testament tells us that when the manslayer is after the one that has committed the wrong, he flees to the cities of refuge. He must remain there until the high priest is passed on. The manslayer, till there's no more pursuit. He must remain there. So then Israel will have to stay there. We see it times, time and a half a time. Hiding away, running from the manslayer. But when Antichrist is destroyed, Revelation 19, here they come back with the mantle. They come back with the power of authority. They come back as a great government. They begin to set up the millennium. And for 1,000 years, their government takes control of the earth. And for 1,000 years, Jesus sits upon the throne of David as a man, God personified in human form, ruling and reigning. People will still be building houses. People will still be planting vineyards. Big lions and elephants, giraffes, great animals will be roaming the earth. It will be a beautiful garden. It will be restored as it was in the days of Adam and Eve. Every lost species, everything that's become extinct, God will bring back. All of the prehistorics, as they use the terms, where it's not like that at all. But all of that will be restored. And the giant animals that once roamed the earth will be back. Everything will be right again. What a wonderful day. There will be millions of people still in the earth. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I thought that only the God people would be in the earth. Only the God people. But it didn't say only the God people. It says that these that have part in the first resurrection, blessed and holy are they, for they shall be kings and priests unto God. And they shall rule, not just dwell and live, but they shall rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. For God hath made us kings and priests unto our God. We shall rule with Christ, reign with Christ. He said to the disciples, they said, and Lord, what shall we receive? We've forsaken our wives, homes, land. He said, when I sit upon my throne, then ye also shall have 12 thrones and sit upon 12 thrones beside me. Isn't that right? So then we see that even in the millennium, that the great apostolic leaders will be in power and they will rule. They will be celestial. Jesus will be celestial, having access both to heaven and earth. The Jewish people will not be celestial. They will be natural people that will have a natural government living on a natural earth. And there will be building, planning. It'll be a wonderful time. The children that come into the world in that season shall have the greatest opportunity of any of them. For Satan will be bound 1,000 years. The lamb and the lion shall lay down together. The bullocks, the lion, they'll eat straw together. Not be a devourer of human flesh, but it will go back to the original covenant of the garden before God ever made a meat covenant with them. The thirst, the appetite won't be there for devouring or to live on meat. It won't be a blood life anymore. God will take it back to its origin. What a wonderful time it will be. Children running and playing, having a good time in the millennium. Hallelujah. Not afraid of being hurt. For nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. You say, but Brother Pine, you don't expect children to be out there. The Bible says that they will. The child shall sit down upon the den of the cockatrice. He won't bite him. He won't bother him. Why? Because there won't be anything to harm. Then all of the people that did not take the mark of the beast, that passed through that last week of Daniel, 7 years of corrupt government, all of the people, many people that have, as we say, give a cup of water, not in his name, but in the name of a disciple, they've got a reward. Many people, hundreds of thousands of people, will pass through that great tribulation, be right there in the millennium. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. Israel will judge the nations for all of the mischief and evil that the nations did to them while they were out of the presence of God. And they shall judge the nations, and all of the nations will be subject to the rule of Israel. Whereas we being celestial, having been changed at the beginning of Daniel's last week, we will be great priests in that hour. Great celestial beings, having access to heaven and earth, having seen the lovely New Jerusalem, having access to our heavenly home even from the first of the week. But 1,000 years shall pass before others shall behold it and get to be around it, or before it sets down upon the new earth. Whereas at the end of the 1,000 years, the Bible teaches that Satan shall be loosed from his prison for a little season. Then he shall come up on the face of the earth, and he shall gather together all of the seed of Gog and Magog from the four corners of the earth. And through his great evil effort and last opportunity to overthrow, he will go up against the Christ who is upon the throne in Jerusalem. And in so doing it, the Bible tells us that fire shall come down out of heaven and devour those that come up against Christ. During that 1,000 years, the Bible said every person that will not submit to Christ, every person that will not honor the saints of God, every person that will not come up to Jerusalem to pay tribute to Christ, shall have no rain upon their lands. They shall not be blessed. The garden will be restored, and there will be those that will dwell in it. But all of those that will not come up will not have part in the garden experience of the millennium. You remember in Eden, the Bible tells us that during the time of Eden, that the garden was in a certain part of the earth. Isn't that right? Eden was a certain part of the earth, the Garden of Eden, that is. It was a certain part, for it was the garden of the earth, as we say. That is going to be a great hour and a great time. What a great moment for those that will be able to get into that garden. God cut Adam and Eve out of that garden, put the flaming cherubs there, moving every way, so that they could not get back. Why? Because it was in that garden, there stood the tree of life. In that garden, there stood the tree of life. And man could not get back to it. But ain't you glad that we found it? Ain't you glad that we have access to it? Ain't you glad that we can live forever and ever and ever? Hallelujah. I found my way back into the garden. You say, but Brother Pike, what is the garden? The garden is the Shekinah presence of God. Nothing can die in his Shekinah presence. Wherever he goes, everything comes to life and sings like the birds. In his presence is life, and out of his presence there is no life at all. The world is cut off from the life of God, but we have access to the life of God. What a beautiful thing to know that we are ever in his presence. We can never leave his presence at any time. He is in us, through us, and above us. God is with us. What an opportunity. But right at this very moment, while we're enjoying all of that, Antichrist is getting ready to take his rule. Antichrist is coming into power. The Iranian crisis, it shows us that Antichrist is at hand. I said that that would bring on the Third World War, the persecution of Israel, and that when that came to pass, that it would bring Antichrist into power. When I read to you in the book of Daniel about the king of the north and the king of the south, The Lord has given us a typical thing. The war between Egypt, Persia, and those places, he illustrated the end time, the battle between the king of the north and the king of the south. He did that in types and shadows in establishing the revelation of Jesus Christ or the writings of the book of John. Seven churches that Paul established, he used them for seven church ages. Types and shadows. But now we're seeing the reality of this thing. For they shall meet at tables and they shall make agreements. But their agreements shall not stand. Look at the agreements that the earth makes. They don't stand. In the days of President Roosevelt, at that time when those people made covenants and back through the years, those covenants stood. When a man gave you his word, why, he'd die before he'd break his word. There was men that would do that. Today, why, men break their word everywhere. Everywhere they break their word. Isn't that right? Why do they do that? They've been forced to do it. Men of integrity, men that wanted to do right, men that wanted to pay their bills, men that wanted to stand upright. They've had so much taxes, so much pressure. So much has been piled upon them until they break their word. They break their word. They were forced to break their word when they slaved to try to keep their word. And once their word was broken, they lost interest. Isn't that right? That's the way it is with the covenants of the earth. They break their word. They've been put in such a perplexed situation until they've been forced to break their word to survive. Nations cunningly working up something, taking advantage of them because of their lack of maturity and understanding, putting them in prison, enslaving them. Then when they come to the understanding of it, they broke the thing, realizing how evil, you know, they had been treated. Men have been forced to break their word, so they've lost their integrity. It's got to where no one cares about keeping their word as a rule. God has to get a hold of your heart. People have lost their virtue in the earth. Why is it that people have lost their virtue? They wasn't like that years ago. People was virtuous. Women was clean and holy and virtuous women. Men were virtuous men. But why is it today that women are not virtuous and men are not virtuous? It's because women have been forced to go to hospitals because some man has some kind of master degree or calls himself a doctor. Because he got a brainstorm out of some college. A bunch of foolish people throughout the world got the notion that he could take his wife and strip her down and treat her like a dog. Look on her body that God gave exclusively to him. All because of our foolishness. All because man did not have a love for the truth. God turned him over to such a reprobate mind, such lies and such evil. And the woman being forced to go to those things. Afterwards, then what happened? Well, a woman's not a fool. She's got enough sense to know that if she's been exposed to one man, that all of them are alike. You might play a game at home and say, you know, she had to go to the doctor and such, but she knows he's a man. She doesn't care about the education or whatever. She's got enough sense to know that she's exposed herself to a man, and one man, two men, 10 men, what difference does it make? It don't make any difference. They're not that crazy. They just let you go on playing the game because they know that they're your wife. They got to live with you. And as long as you think that way, well, I mean, what can they do? They're a helpless prey. They're caught in the turnover. They're caught in the world system. Men do the same thing. Men go to women doctors and men go to nurses. And those nurses play with them like a toy. Corrupt, evil, filthy-minded people. But because they have a degree, they're supposed to be able to do that. Oh, let me tell you, folks, we've been a foolish bunch of people. Not having a love for God, God has turned the world over to reprobate mind as one big cesspool of iniquity. That's why Antichrist can come in. The Bible said he will corrupt women. He will corrupt women. He's done it. He's made a sloppy mess out of the world. That's the only terms I know to use. Look at the armed forces. One of the low-downest organizations in the world. Ain't never been nothing no more filthy, unless it is the medical profession, which walks hand in hand with them. Look at the educational system. Through their filth, through their evil, through their polluted way of doing things, they have corrupted our little girls and little boys. And preachers without a backbone. And what is supposed to be Pentecostal people? Why wouldn't take Pentecostal people? Just people with good common sense that love decency, that could look back at yesteryear and see the way our mothers dressed and the way our dads done, would know better than to let their children go out here to a basketball frolic, strip down in tights, go out here to what they call physical exercise, turning us over to reprobate mind. What is the law? We're supposed to be the law. What is law? It's government. We're the government. The people are the government. Why do we let them do such low-down, filthy things? Say, we've got to do it. I never will forget, I've said it again and again in California, when they told me that my daughter had to do it, I said, my daughter ain't going to do it. I said, she ain't going to do it. Oh, yes, in California she will. I said, oh, no, it don't make no difference where it's at. She ain't going to do it. My wife talked to them people there at the school and said, I'm sorry, this is one time that you lost out. Said, our children are not going to do it. Oh, yes, everybody does it here. We don't have any such. Said, this is one time that you'll have it. You know what happened? They had it. My children went right on to school, but my children didn't do it. They said, well, we've never had such thing before. Never! Are you the only people in California like this? They just said, well, I sure hope not. Folks, why have we done the things we've done? Why have we been such foolish bunch of people? We don't have anything sacred anymore. You can't hold your wife dear to your heart. The world's just about turned her into a prostitute. You can't hold your daughter dear to your heart. The world's about turned her into a prostitute. You can't hold your husband dear to your heart. The world turned him into a whoremonger and a liar. You know what? The Bible said God looked down in all of the earth as in the days of Noah had corrupted itself before God. Now we can play our little game and we can say, well, God, he understands. You know, God, he understands because he knows that, you know, we have to do this. This is our system. This is our government. This is our way of life. God, he understands. God don't understand. And God's going to burn the world with fire and burn you with it and all your philosophers. God don't understand nothing but that he gave us a rule and a regulation. He gave us life. He created us. He made us. He put the earth here for us. He told us what to do, how to do it. He'd make provisions for us. What then has gotten us into this mess? That warped up, twisted tree of knowledge called education has corrupted, polluted, tore down. The armed forces has just literally ravished our young girls and women. Set up a camp in a town. Soldiers kept away from their companions, relationship that God intended for them to have, to multiply and replenish the earth in all holiness and virtue. Kept away, penned up like animals, and the women kept away, penned up like animals. Then they started intermingling and corrupting themselves, working on defense jobs, working in plants. Women never worked on job before then. They stayed home, they got to the house, they raised their children. They were lovely things, beautiful, like a beautiful flower, virtuous, holy, pure. And a man's heart could trust in her. The Bible said a virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. Her husband's soul can trust it in her. But if she's not virtuous, she's like rottenness in his bones, like water in his veins. But the armed forces overrun everything. They're still doing it. What difference does it make now? You can't hardly find any virtue in the earth anyway. Why does Satan want to get rid of the virtue? That's the only way he can personify himself in the earth. As long as there's virtue, as long as there's righteousness, as long as there's holiness, as long as there's God understanding, God can stay in the earth. God can be in your presence. But the devil, to control the world, has to get rid of all of the virtue. And then God hath no place, so he's defeated God. He defeats God by corrupted man. Only, the only hope we have now, in that all of the earth has corrupted its way before God, as it was in the days of Noah. None good. None. One hope. What is that hope? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Why has God suffered everything to get in such an evil condition of corruption? To exalt God. To show us our need for God. To reveal to us our weakness. To show to us our foolishness. To show to us that we don't have enough understanding to know how to guide ourselves. And to teach ourselves. Don't lean to your own understanding, he said. Trust in God with all of your heart. But there's men that want power. There's men that want prestige. There's men that want money. There's men that want honor. And if they have to send that little daughter to school and then strip her off over there, that's all right with the men, as long as they say, now he's a smart man. Now he's got good sense. He knows what he's doing. He's not one of them fanatics out yonder. Long as he can borrow a dollar, have a new car. The Bible said they sold their daughters for a glass of wine. And they give their daughters into harlotry for a dollar, for a little prestige. You call that a daddy? Mothers, to go on with their petting parties, to have a social benefit, completely become ignorant, and put all of the knowledge and understanding that God had given them out of their heart and mind, and done away with it just to have some fellowship with people who feed out of the garbage can. And you pardon my expression, because I mean every word of it. God is disgusted. All of the earth hath corrupted its way before God. None good, no, not one. And God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Bruised for our transgression, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him. Yet he knew no sin. That's the only hope, the name of Jesus. What will Antichrist do? He will possess the kingdom that he so carefully has set up through the years. He hath worked carefully through the system of knowledge since the fall of the garden, since he got into woman, since he overthrew Adam, since he took the kingdom from mankind. Being the prince of this world, the ruler of the powers that's in the air. Not only the demon powers that's in the air, not only is he the prince of those. Not only can he take the children of the world into captivity at his desire by means of evil spirits in the air, he's not only the prince of those powers, but he is the prince over the electrical powers, the atomic powers. All of this great matter, he has become the prince of the world. He controls those powers. He'll destroy the world with them because he don't have enough sense to know what to do with them. That's the devil. The devil don't have enough sense. He don't have enough understanding. He's not brilliant enough to know how to control them. They're in his hands. He's going to destroy all of mankind. And it'll result in his own destruction. For God will destroy him. God said, I will destroy them that destroy the earth. Peter said the elements being on fire. But Satan is moving in now to possess his kingdom. Somebody would say, but why is the Baptist? Why is the Methodist? Why is the church of God? Why is the Presbyterian? Why are the assemblies of God? Why is even the churches is called the churches of the UPC and churches of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why have all of them gradually becoming corrupted? Because they wouldn't listen to the word of God. They had to add a little pantsuit, and the woman don't have to dress like a lady anymore. When God forbidded it, they have to drink a little wine, they have to drink a little whiskey. They have to have a little social benefits to mix with the world out there, to get along with the teachers of that tree of knowledge. They have to compromise a little here and compromise a little bit there. That's why the condition is prevailing. Now, the devil is fixing to take over. He's processed the people very thoroughly. He's got them at the point he wants them. You say, what point is that, Brother Pike? That the Bible said all flesh hath corrupted its way before God. Oh, I can tell this ain't sitting right. All of the earth has corrupted its way before God. All of the earth. Sweden, Germany, America, all of it. Oh, we talk about godly America. There ain't nothing godly about America. Now, you can find something godly about a Christian, but I challenge anybody in the world to show me one godly thing about America. If anything, she's ungodly. In one of the most ungodly nations in the world. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you talk about the Methodist people. I sure do. I sure do. The Baptist people too. The Pentecostal people too. But what can you lay to the charge of the Methodist people? They're trying to serve God. I wish you could have read that article the other day about their... The only way I know to say it is sex movies. That they're showing in the churches. In the churches. And it's supposed to be an educational thing. And a few of the God-fearing people with backbone in the Methodist church has risen up. And they're about to pull away from it. For 7 years the mess has been going on. Anybody that would leave a Pentecostal move of God to go to a Methodist church, there have to be something wrong with it. Even some of the people in the Methodist church are trying to get out of it so that they can get to God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You say, well, my mother was Methodist. Your mother wasn't in the mess of Methodism today. A lot of Methodist people had God. John Wesley came along, he had a method, all right. And it was sanctification. And they followed that method. But some of the methods of today, or Methodists of today, is following a mess. That's what they're following. They got a method, all right, but it ain't John Wesley's method. Somebody say, I love Jesus. They got a mess from method. I'll tell you something, folks. What God is doing, he's beginning to divide right down the middle. And some of those people that are in the Methodist church are beginning to realize that they are children of God and they need to get out of the mess. And God has suffered them to be there for this reason. Breaking things down proportionally to where a man over here, the light might not be too bright to a newcomer. And processing them like little chicks till he can grow them up into full grown chickens. Jesus said, as a hen gathering her brood. Breaking it down. And God has suffered those people to stay there. But he's about to pull them out of the Baptist now. He's about to pull them out of the Methodist now. He's about to pull them out of all of those churches now and bring them together as Christians in one great body, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and rapture them and take them away, because the beginning of Daniel's week is at hand. God's drawing them out. Antichrist is going to come in and gather his brood. He's going to gather them. He's going to gather them. And God's going to take, as we say sometimes, those eagles out of that old stinking barnyard and set them up here where the breeze is nice and clean. And he's going to leave that old stinking smell down there to them that loves that kind of life. Them that have a nature for it and an appetite for it. Antichrist, look at him. What kind of person will he be? Somebody said, I'm so afraid, Brother Pike, that one of these preachers is going to be Antichrist. Well, if you had any understanding at all, you'd know the Bible speaks of a vile person standing up, coming in with flattery, but a vile, wretched person. And then besides that, the Bible says here that he will speak against God. He will speak against the Holy Covenant. And the Bible said that he won't worship the God of his fathers. He won't even believe in the God of his fathers, which is Christ Jesus. He won't believe in no kind of God. You won't pull him off in Mohammedism. You won't pull him off in the Confucianism. You won't pull him off in Christianity or anything else. Why? Because the Bible said he'll worship a God of his own. You know what he'll do? Satan will be personified in him. And that body will worship Satan. Set a strange God that his fathers has never known before. Never worshiped before. Never listened to before. He won't have any desire for women. The Bible said that his desire will be for power, though he'll corrupt women. Yet his desire will be for power. Arms will stand on his part. What will he believe in? He'll believe in guns. He'll believe in tanks. He'll believe in artillery. He'll believe in nuclear power. He'll believe in the strength of arms. And the Bible said, who can make war against him? Nobody. Because he'll be the most powerful person in the world when it comes to fighting. Ain't but one can overthrow him. There's only one army that can defeat him. That's Revelation 19, the army of heaven. The army of heaven. The saints of God's going to come back and teach him a lesson. He's going to rule the earth, overthrow every power, every kingdom. But just about the time that he sets himself up on a pinnacle, we're going to come back and show him what a real army is like. And the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle. And the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is going to set up a government for 1,000 years it will last. And then emerge into the eternities, into the celestial as God changes it over to the new earth, to the new way of life. Antichrist that will worship Satan. He will worship Satan in the secret places and he will divide the spoil. That is, he will set up his own kings over this providence, his own kings over that providence, his own rulers over this providence. And all of them will do obeisance unto him. All of them will follow him. All of them will follow his instruction. Antichrist, the middle of the week, Satan personified in a human being. Satan cast out of heaven because the man-child is caught up. Look at it. He said, Daniel, I will tell thee the truth. Come with me, Daniel. I will tell thee the truth. I will show thee the truth. Because we have not a love for that truth, God turned us over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and to be under the Antichrist system and to be caught in the Antichrist system. Because we didn't love truth, we have lost all of the virtues and decency and loyalty and integrity that God gave to mankind, stripped of everything that could have been a benefit to us, that could have done us good. Loving the things of this world. Folks, there's a lot of things I'd like to say this morning, but I can tell that some of you are just a little bit weary. A lot of things I'd like to say, but remember one thing, that as far as I know, you won't have to go through the tribulation. You won't have to be here when Antichrist is in power, as far as I know and understand. You'll be raptured out at the first of the week if you're blessed and holy. You'll have part in the first resurrection. You'll rule and reign with him 1,000 years. You'll have your virtues restored to you. You'll be the body of the Lord Jesus, clean, virtuous, holy, blessed and holy, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, having his righteousness, not found with your own righteousness, which is as filthy rags, ritualistics of joining churches and belonging to religious organizations. That kind of thing you won't have. But you'll have God's righteousness, which will be eternal life. Your fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof, everlasting life. That's what you'll have. But I tell you something. You that don't make it in, you that don't make the change, the Bible said, woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. Satan is going to be cast out to where you'll be rubbing elbows with him. The demon powers will be personified. They're already in man, and Satan is already in man in measure. But the fullness of him will be in man. And you're talking about a horrible, wretched generation. I believe that some of you mothers and daddies, even now, seeing your daughter, sweet, lovely, that you raised up, your little son that walked before you, that loved you, that was so tender, all of a sudden he's a maniac. He's a menace to the public. All of a sudden he's hard. He doesn't have any reasoning. Dope has took away his sense of reasoning. He's killed his conscience. Can stand and spit in your face, curse you, hate you, hurt you. And the Bible said kill their own parents. Talk to you like you was not as good as I used to talk to my dog. Your sons, your daughters. That's why the Bible said, he that loveth wife, children, whatever more than me, land, houses, job, prestige, whatever, he can't be my disciple. See, he's still in the flesh and you can't please God. We're dead to the flesh, mortifying the deeds of the body. We're in the spirit, not in the flesh. Living by faith. You love Jesus. It's a sad moment, folks. It's a sad moment. The end of the world is here. The Iranian crisis positively shows the end of the world is here. That means that we need to do something. You need to run for your life. Everything is pointing to it. I'm wondering what's going to happen next month. I don't know. The woman that stood before me the other night, that supernatural being, had said to me, next month, something unusual is going to take place. I'm wondering what that is. I don't know. I believe it. I believe it. If she said it, and if she came from God, which it appeared that she did, then I believe it. Is that right, Columbus? Isn't that something? Sister Winnie Floyd has got a brother here from Atlanta, Georgia. And I hope I got this right. His name is Columbus. Christopher Columbus. My land. What about that? Talking about a new world. Got Christopher on board. Well, I tell you what, we extend a hearty hand of welcome and respect to our brother. Certainly appreciate him coming down to be with us. Sister Wynne is one of our prized possessions here. She's a precious sister in the Lord, and she's had a hard, hard battle, but she's come out of it, and the sisters love her. We certainly appreciate having one of her relatives here, and I see that God has a hand in him coming this morning. Because the name is just exactly fitting for what I said was happening yesterday and today. You know, that again, folks, proves that something is taking place. You're precious in the sight of the Lord. Dear children of God, very prized in his sight. He loves you this morning. You're the apple of his eye. Oh, you're so special to him. But I tell you something. You really need to get a hold of yourself. Because things are happening that some of you are not seeing. Things are taking place. When I get up here and I say over and over, something is taking place. So many times you look at me with a holler expression as if to say, you know, well, I know you think that. But brother and sister, I don't think that. I've been in touch with God, in touch with heaven. And though everything might seem the same to you, they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? All things remain the same as when our fathers fell asleep. That's true. Where is the promise of his coming? The Bible said they'll see that in the last days. But be sure and be not ignorant. For God, with God, a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years as a day. The seal of God standeth sure that God knoweth them that are his. He said, I've not lost to one of them, Father. Every one you've given me, I'll raise him up in the last day, and only the son of perdition is lost. He was a devil from the beginning. I've chosen 12 of you. One of you is a devil. All of those that are in this world that are the sons and daughters of perdition, they are sons and daughters of the devil. They were ordained to be taken and burned. So these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. They are lost because before they were ever born, they were preordained to that purpose. But you that are dear children of God, preordained unto eternal life, his workmanship in Christ, a finished product, everything finished, your righteousness, your health, your happiness, your crown, your riches, your eternal existence. For ye are God's workmanship in his Son as he wrought what he did at Calvary in your behalf. Let's sing a little chorus together. How many appreciate these people being with us? Let's give the Lord a big hand, can we? You know, I always think about what he said, clap your hands, all ye people, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, people come in and they see us clapping their hands and say, that bunch of fanatics out there clapping their hands for Jesus. While they need to be at a good football game, that's where they clap their hands. One day we'll find out who the fanatic is. You love Jesus? Praise God. I tell you, it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's really wonderful. If we clapped our hands from now until Jesus come, we still wouldn't do him. You know, we really wouldn't have the loyalty and the obeisance and obedience to him and the praise that he's due. For the Bible says in the book of Revelation, I heard everything in heaven and in earth and under the earth saying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb of God to receive honor, power, and riches and glory. What a day that'll be. Just think right now, if every human voice that ever lived on the face of the earth, and that is living on the face of the earth, and that will be living on the face of the earth as time goes on, what if at this moment every one of them begin to cry out, sinner, saint alike, every one of them, all that is in heaven, all that is in the earth, all that is under the earth, all that's down in the chambers of hell, all of them crying out, worthy is the Lamb of God. Honor, praise, glory to his great name. Worthy is he to receive all of that. The only one that was ever worthy to receive it. Worthy is he. You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Father, glorify these with that honor and glory and riches that I'm worthy to receive. For I did it for them. And all together you'll be in that honor, in that riches, in that glory, in that wonderful thing, because they'll be saying glory to you. Glory to you, because you are the members of his beloved body. What a wonderful thought. Worthy, worthy. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm not worthy. But he hath made us worthy. He hath made us worthy. Hallelujah. He hath made us worthy. Let's sing a little chorus together. We'll give him the glory because I believe he's worthy. Can you give me a little higher pitch there? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of his wonderful love. Can you sing it again now? Lift your hands to the Lord. Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus.